episode, my mom Cynthia shares the difficult week of wrestling with herself as she combats doubt when she experienced a regression in the recovery of her sight.
Hi, this is Cynthia. Thanks for tuning in to the next episode of this personal chronicle of my journey in losing sight, finding faith. I have an eye chart pasted to the bathroom mirror. I use it to check on my progress by just doing a simple sight test every day. About 3 months after the visual impairment, I noticed that I couldn't read the last line off the eye chart with my left eye. The glare had started to return. By this time, the specialist had already instructed me to taper off the steroids due to side effects to my general health if taken at prolonged periods. Around this time, I was reading a daily devotion entitled, It's Not Over. What timing with the title describing my situation. It was testing my faith again, but this time, with the glare returning on my left eye, I felt I was wrestling with my self-doubt and my belief that I would ever get better again. I knew the promises God has for me, which is for complete restoration. My limited thinking was making it hard to believe that complete healing is possible. I was angry with myself for doubting God's ability to fulfill His promises for me just because of this regression. I was oscillating between feeling confident and falling into pieces. How do I purge out these doubts and sadness? I can only voice my concerns to God, praying, crying, praying, praising, more crying, praying, singing, crying, praying. That was the cycle I went through, laying it all out to God how I truly felt. In that week, I was back at the Royal Eye and Ear Hospital emergency ward. Sitting there brought all the terrifying memories of my days being visually impaired. When I was finally seen, the visual acuity test showed there was slight deterioration to my sight. Later that week, I was back in the specialist's office. Since the disease was still very active and was causing the inflammation of the eye muscles, he recommended that I go back on a higher dosage of steroid pills, and I would need to begin again to taper off the steroids slowly over the next 2 months. There's not much I can do other than to play the waiting game. My Lord Jesus does not do things halfway and in pieces. His ways are good. His healing is perfect and complete. I just have to wait. All I can say to you listening in, when in doubt, cry out to God and present how you feel, for He is listening with compassion. How do I know? Because God moves hearts to minister to us in time of need. A dear colleague who is a cancer survivor ministered to me in that week. She sent songs of hope to lift my spirits up. She reminded me that God's plans are higher than ours, that He is going before us and planning our every step. He is in the midst of every tear, every fear, and blesses us in so many ways, even in hard times. She called her illness a quiet surrender of her heart to God's will, and affirming that she knew I had done the same. He is in control. My colleague cares so much for me that she had already sent prayer chains to her friends all over Australia so that they could all pray for me. With those life-giving words, how can I not be encouraged? My vat was filling up again. But God wants my vat to overflow, and He continues to send encouragement my way. One of our close friends felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to see me one evening after work. She said it was like a pressure in her heart, but she was also excited to see me. Before she left work, she quickly popped by a gift shop to pick things that will put a smile on my face again. As she did that, she felt God is picking good gifts for me. Seeing her at my doorstep, I knew God had sent her, and I was delighted to see her. As she listened intently to how I was feeling, every insight she gave ministered to me. When we allow ourselves to listen to what the Holy Spirit says, He gives us the right words at the right time to encourage others. My friend reminded me to be kind to myself and not to feel like I have to be a super duper Christian all the time. God appreciates that I'm being real to Him. She continued by talking about unbelieving Thomas, one of the 12 disciples who didn't want to believe that Jesus had resurrected from the dead until he saw the Lord himself. Jesus didn't rebuke Thomas, but instead came down to his level and allowed Thomas to examine the pierced hands and sides. Instead of being annoyed at Thomas's doubts, Jesus took the time to see his friend. I was beating myself up for having doubts in the first place, but God knows us too well that we're only human. He can handle our doubts. We just need to let Him know how we're feeling, and when we're ready to listen, He counsels us. As I conversed with my friend, I expressed my anger with myself for leaving God's spacious place because I felt unworthy to be in God's presence after laying everything out to Him. My friend reminded me that I am His precious, beloved daughter to Him. That evening, the sunset was incredibly spectacular. The clouds were painted with a light purplish hue, and the orange sunset covered the horizon. I was feeling thankful that evening that I could even see how gorgeous the sunset was. As my friend was driving to my place, she felt that God made the spectacular sunset just for me to let me know that my future is beautiful and certain, and there's always hope. I love what she said next. She said, "When our kids have their tantrum moments, we don't judge them during those times. We pick them up after they have calmed down. We soothe them, we understand, and we tell them how much we love them. That's how our God is with us." Just wow, right? Such wisdom and insight comes from the Holy Spirit when we allow Him to use us as ministers of peace. I cannot thank my friend enough for coming at the right time and saying the right words. That's exactly my experience. God had not once judged me for expressing my doubts, anxiety, and concerns. Instead, He came looking for me, bringing me back to His spacious place so I can feel safe again. My friend was God's voice of love, and to tell me personally that He is pleased with me and He is smiling when He thinks of me. This is such a humbling experience for me. In spite of my flaws, God's thoughts of me are precious and countless. We have an olive tree that was given to us when it was just a tiny plant. The tree is now fully grown and adorns our front yard. It's a hardy evergreen tree through the seasons. Every time I look at the olive tree, I'm reminded by King David, who penned Psalm 52 verse 8. "But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. Oh, help me, God, to trust you always, for your unfailing love is eternal. I love you, and I have nothing to fear, for your presence is with me forever and ever. Amen.
I hope you've been inspired by Mum's incredible journey. Please subscribe and share this podcast to people you know who will be encouraged by her story.